My name is Valerie Payne, and this is the podcast Binding Unity. I started this podcast because of a personal experience that helped me to see the need for unity in our society right now. I hope that you will come along with me on my quest to find unity as we seek understanding, connection, healing, and love. Hi, this is Valerie Payne, and you're listening to another episode of Finding Unity. And today I have my friend Annie Rosewer Packer on. Annie, do you want to say hi to everyone?
Hello.
Thanks for being on. So we're going to be talking a little bit about Annie's health struggles. I guess we'll just call them that. But first of all, do you want to just talk a little bit about yourself? Where'd you grow up? What do you do professionally? And don't sell yourself short on that part.
I grew up in Utah, Salt Lake City. I moved out to Los Angeles in my mid-20s to pursue my dreams in the music industry, which is where I met Valerie. I am a musician. I play the flute. I'm a composer. I write music for movies. And in fact, Valerie and I were on the same romantic comedy a couple of years ago. It was kind of fun. Just the way life goes.
Yes, my hand was in it and her music was in it.
So fun. I'm also a wife and a mom, and I've got two little ones at home.
Awesome. Cool. Yeah, let's just go ahead and dive into it. Do you want to talk a little bit about your health journey? I'm just going to let you explain it.
Sure.
Like, you know my questions and where I'm going with this. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, so tell us.
I've had a couple of back injuries, which we still don't know what caused them. I have some hereditary stuff in my family. I have a dad and a sister and a grandpa who have all had some spine disorders. But I never expected them to come, especially this early in my life. So I got pregnant with my second baby. Let's say this was fall of 2021. And about a month in, I started to feel this really crazy glute pain. It just wouldn't go away. And I thought maybe it was a sore muscle or whatever. And I did a bunch of physical therapy and it didn't seem to improve, and got an MRI. And that's where we saw the diagnosis or the image of a disc herniation. Which at the time I thought, oh, whatever, like, I'm strong, I'll get through this, like, this is no big deal, you know, and most of the time it isn't a big deal. Like, only, you know, I think the stat is like 2% of people actually need surgery. Like, it's really low. And so I just thought, like, you know, I'll deal with this right now and I'll just kind of endure through this pregnancy and then we'll deal with it after.
What did they tell you to do to deal with it? I'm just curious.
Physical therapy, basically.
Okay.
but I was in a lot of pain. I mean, it got really bad. I would say the first few months were kind of manageable. Like, I was still sort of working. I was still taking care of my toddler at the time. And, you know, like, didn't have like a crazy debilitating situation yet. But then, like, as time progressed, it just got worse and worse. And I couldn't stand for more than about a minute. I couldn't sit for about more than 30 seconds. And I just realized pretty soon that we needed full-time help because, like, I couldn't really live my life anymore. I made it through the pregnancy, and I did have an injection. So they do treat you sometimes with steroid injections, which can kind of alleviate some pain, just depending on where the injury is and how your body does with those types of injections. But fortunately, the one that matters, so I got three, and two of the three failed. The third one ended up working, thank goodness. I, like, praise the heavens to this day, because that's the one that got me through labor and delivery. I don't know if I could have done it without some pain relief there. So had my baby, and then unfortunately the injection wore off, and pretty soon after delivery I was in debilitating pain again. So that was like early July of 2022, and I tried a bunch of conservative treatments to try to avoid surgery, and unfortunately it didn't work. So I had surgery of late October, and I was in like the most incredible state of my life, because that was the first time in a year almost that I had been pain-free. So I probably did a little too much at that time, I don't know, but I had a lot of tissue that got removed from that first surgery, and I've learned now, I didn't know at the time, but I've learned now that if you have a lot removed, then you're kind of in the same category of a re-herniation, which is nothing you want to have happen, because the problem with these discs is they don't regenerate, they don't grow. It's like cartilage. So once it's gone, it's gone. And so anyway, bottom line is I re-herniated about a week after I had my first surgery. And the pain and the experience I went through during that time was, I don't even know how to categorize it, but it was definitely like probably the hardest a couple weeks of my life. And then I had a second surgery, and unfortunately I lost a lot, I lost even more tissue with that removal on that one. And I knew at that point in time that there might be even more down the road because I had lost so much with the two. So currently I'm still in pain. It's not nearly as bad. I mean, I'm sitting here with you. I can drive my car. I can lift my kids. Like, I don't really have any real restrictions, but any kind of movement really outside of just like, you know, daily walking causes pain. So I don't know if I'm ever going to be out of pain without further treatment. I still am kind of pursuing some other options, maybe another surgery. We don't know. But yeah, that's kind of my journey.
Yeah, that's so hard. And I remember you talking just when I saw you back when you told me this whole story originally. Yeah. You talked about the pain that you were experiencing compared to child labor.
Oh, goodness.
Like, do you want to speak to just maybe that a little
bit? I mean, chronic pain is like it's a whole other beast. It's just giving birth is crazy. They're both crazy in their own ways. But I would say that this type of chronic pain is worse because when you have a baby, it's quick. I mean, it only lasts, you know, I mean, anyone can argue that it starts from the beginning of pregnancy, but you do have labor pains near the end, and then you have the delivery pains, which are usually pretty fast, less than a day. In my case, it was 36 hours for each. But I mean, in retrospect, I dealt with this really crazy, debilitating pain for a year. So what that does to your mind is a whole other topic. Yeah. And, you know, giving birth is traumatic too. But yeah, I would say I would take delivering a baby over going through this.
Yeah.
Any day.
Well, I mean, do you mind just kind of going there for a minute? You talked about the impact it has on your mind and your mental health.
It's hard to talk about it without it getting heavy because it is heavy. And there were some days that I didn't know if I would make it. Especially during the two surgeries, where I felt completely hopeless and depleted and lost, confused, devastated. And it was extremely hard because I had already been through almost a year of having my hope kind of shattered through treatments that weren't working. So at that point, I had to make a decision. How am I going to live? Am I going to live with hope? Or am I going to live without hope? There were a lot of other elements to this, and I had a lot of incredible people that showed up and offered their love, which I believe got me through. But ultimately, it was up to me. And I knew that in order for me to have a fulfilling life and be able to see this on the other side, I had to make a choice and live that way, despite the chaos I was going through. So I'm still trying to live that way. I'm still trying to choose hope and faith every day, but it's hard.
Yeah. I love that. That was so powerful just hearing you share that, because it's true. Like, whatever you're going through in life, you have to think about what are you going to choose? Like, it's up to us to choose hope or to not have hope. Mm-hmm. So that's really powerful. Thanks for sharing.
Thanks.
Let's kind of go back to, you know, it's funny because this question it's how did you balance being a mother, work, marriage, family life? But I don't know that you probably really balanced it. So just, I guess, how did you manage or cope during that time?
Well, I didn't. I mean, I had to stop working. I stopped pretty much all of my tasks outside my home, and actually most of them inside as well. So we hired full-time childcare help and house cleaners, and we ate a lot of frozen pizzas, which I can tell you, by the way, which the best frozen pizza out there is.
What is it?
If you want to know, it's the Sprouts pizza that's made in-house. So it's in the deli section, and I'm telling you, it is the best. It's like restaurant quality.
And this is not sponsored.
This is not sponsored. Love you, Sprouts. So we had tons of people just dropping off meals, which was incredibly helpful. We had a lot of grandma help. My mom and my husband's mom were there, making meals for us constantly. So that was extremely helpful. And I would also let my toddler and baby lay next to me in bed if they were having a hard time. And I just try to comfort them the best way I could. But I do owe like a crazy amount of credit to my dear husband during this time, because he was our family's, not just mine, but our family's caretaker. We had a baby that had reflux. My newborn had reflux. And it was honestly a living shiz show during this time. I felt like we were barely hanging on, and he was our rock, and really, I'm so grateful for him and all he did during that time.
So it sounds like your husband was a big support to you, for sure.
For sure.
Is there anything else that you feel like was helpful for you as you went through this experience?
I would say the most helpful thing was the personal, authentic, and heartfelt connections people made with me. When I felt cared about and safe to express my feelings and have a good cry, that was super, super helpful. Honestly, I felt that those little outreaches of love with text messages or, the conversations I had with people were really helpful. People dropped off, treats and meals. And actually, this was so cute. One day during December, I had kind of vowed to not leave my house after my second surgery because I was so afraid of re-herniating again that I didn't even celebrate Christmas or Thanksgiving. And so, I mean, whatever, it's fine. It's 1 year of my life. It's not that big of a deal. But I love holidays, and I really wasn't able to decorate, for Christmas. And one day our doorbell rang, and there was a whole pile of Christmas decorations on our porch that someone had dropped off, which honestly was like the sweetest, most thoughtful thing. That was awesome. And then another morning, this was way later in like the whole recovery process. I mean, I think this might've been like March, April. And I was still kind of taking my time cutting back into real life. But I think a group of young girls in our neighborhood had heart attacked my door, which is basically, people stick hearts all over your door with cute little notes. And that really meant a lot because, chronic illness is something that's hard for people to understand if they haven't been through it. And to have consistent reminders that I was thought about was just the best, because it is, even through a recovery process, like if you're past like the crazy, pain that's debilitating, there are still concerns, there's still pain. And to be thought about in that way was just so awesome. Like it really did give me the strength to keep going.
I love that. So it sounds like the connections that you were experiencing meant a lot to you, especially because you were bedbound for a year.
Absolutely.
So
yeah. I also want to mention a book that I read. I don't express this too much with my friends that aren't members of my faith, but I am a deeply religious and spiritual person, and I really give a lot of credit to God. I know that he's there, and there were several times through the process that I felt his love through other people, and also felt inspiration and promptings to read certain materials. And I found this book that was on our shelf. It's called Christ in Every Hour, and it's by Anthony Sweat. And I just want to read a little bit from that book because It really did help me get through some of my hardest days. It's kind of long, so bear with me, but I love the entire message. It says, "Wholeness is a unity between body, mind, spirit, and God. Wholeness aligns with God and accepts thy will be done sincerely. Wholeness says that although we have an uncured physical limitation or pain or problem, our heart has become softened, our spirit attuned to God's spirit, our faith fortified, and something sweet from heaven, above has whispered peace to our troubled soul. Jesus promised all his followers this healing gift when he said to his apostles, "Peace I leave with you, peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let your heart not be troubled, neither let it be afraid." And that's from John 14:27. I was so desperate. Some of those days I was begging. I was praying my guts out for God to heal me, and he wasn't, and he's still not. And there's a reason for that, and I still have yet to find it. But I can see through so many things I've learned through this that my heart has changed in a lot of ways. And my knowledge of his love has grown so much, and as hard as it's been, I'm really grateful for the growth within myself.
Those thoughts were so focused on wholeness, which you kind of expressed feeling like a lack of healing, but it talks about healing, wholeness, and unity. And yeah, I just think it's so powerful and it's so applicable. Although your experience is specific in regards to having a chronic illness, it's so helpful to anyone, I feel.
Totally.
With whatever they're going through.
Yeah, I mean, whether you believe in Christ or not, you know, there is wholeness that can be found in this life. And I believe that God provides people and experiences and beautiful nature to help us feel connected and, you know, connected to him and connected to each other.
And you've talked about that hope a little bit, and just with, you know, this quote here, do you have any other advice that you want to share to maybe someone who's going through this or a similar experience?
For sure. I would say for a personality like mine, I have a hard time letting people see the struggle, you know, but I think if you're like me in that way, please reach out. You need support. We all need support. Community is everything. Let people serve you as hard as it is. And be vulnerable. Share your feelings. Something that has been really tricky with my situation, I think anyone that's got kind of a harder to diagnose chronic situation, is that like there's like a wide range of opinion out there. Nerves are weird. Like you can have an injury in one part of your body and it will show up, it will hurt, you know, in a totally different spot. So it's really hard to know sometimes what to do and how to treat it. So like an MRI, for example, like is easy. You can see a disc herniation on there, but you know, leftover residual pain or neuropathy, like there's just so many things out there that are hard to see on a scan. And so anyway, I've had doctors kind of in all aspects of this give me opinions that are so across the board that I have been like lost in a whirlwind of opinion and having really no idea who to listen to and who to trust. And it's been, and so, you know, on top of having pain, you have this like chaotic whirlwind of opinion, and you're trying to like decipher what is the best for you. And it can be really scary and overwhelming and tricky. And I've learned, and I'm still learning because this is a process, and I'm not out of the woods yet, but I'm learning more and more how to trust myself and to really listen to my body and think and be still and listen to truly what my heart is telling me to do. Because I think we in the medical system can get caught up in only listening to a doctor's expertise. And I think that can be okay in certain circumstances, but it can also be dangerous. And, you know, I've heard some pretty sad actual horror stories of people, you know, not going down different roads and trying different treatments because they only listen to one opinion. So I would say, you know, to someone that's struggling with maybe my specific injury, like, don't just listen to one opinion. Like, please research and talk to a lot of people and figure out what works for you, what rings true to you and what your body is feeling. Only you know what your body is feeling. So I'm learning how to trust more and be more patient with myself and more give myself more grace when maybe I've chosen something that I've beaten myself up for, you know, that hasn't worked or whatever. And not just kind of trusting everyone around me, opinions around me. So, and another, I would say the last thing is to keep your mind occupied. Chronic situations are they really are just such a beast. And the best way to feel depressed is to worry about the future and succumb to the desperation of your situation. And that's no fun. It's not fun for you. It's not fun for anyone. But I also want to acknowledge that it is important to feel the emotions. You know, I mean, suppressing emotion is not helpful either. But there are better days ahead, and believing in them, hoping for them, sometimes if that's all you can do, and, you know, asking for those if you can, if you don't have the strength to do it yourself because you're physically, emotionally, mentally exhausted from it all, to ask those around you to do it for you, because it's hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You had a lot of really good advice there. It sounds like you've done a lot of things to get to cope as well as you could.
Yeah.
When it was happening. The podcast, Finding Unity, the kind of mission statement behind it is finding unity through seeking understanding, healing, connection, and love. What ways has this experience, you've shared a lot already, but is there anything you wanted to add in how you found connection, healing, understanding, and love through this experience?
Yeah, absolutely. I would say I have a lot to say about this one, actually, if that's okay.
Yeah.
Chronic situations can be really isolating, mentally and physically debilitating. And I think people in general, when they see someone struggle, it's, you know, with an acute situation, it's easier to kind of gear up and help in something that's more short term. But in a long term trial, and when it's relentless and ongoing, I think people don't quite know how to stay consistent. You know, about halfway through my pregnancy, when I was bedbound, I actually had a close friend express some guilt, because up to that point, she'd been a little distant, and I was kind of wondering, you know, like, where is she? Like, I wonder if she knows how I'm really doing, you know. But I had a hard time, like I said before, a hard time reaching out and being honest. But, you know, she expressed her feelings of feeling guilt and was sorry, then she felt like she had to make up for that lost time, and also felt overwhelmed about my current situation. And she said she felt helpless, and she told me how much she cared about me and asked what she could do. And I told her, honestly, all I needed was to feel safe sharing my tears and my fears and all the things. And honestly, we just cried together on the phone. And that conversation meant more to me during that time than anything she did moving forward. It just, sitting with her and letting her hear me out was extremely helpful. And it took time, you know, like we probably talked for, I mean, I don't remember, it was maybe an hour or two, but she listened without trying to fix my situation or offer her agenda. She just kind of let me be there and let me feel her light energy during a really dark time. You know, I didn't expect anyone to stop their lives for me, but that relationship and the other relationships that meant the most to me were the ones that people consistently checked in on. You know, chronic illnesses are not convenient for really anyone, but, I think people think they have to do big acts of service to be helpful, but honestly, it was just the little reminders that I was being given throughout the weeks, and months that I was being prayed about and cared about that meant the most. And you know, I do have the personality type where I feel like it's tricky. It's hard to sit in. It's hard to sit still. I tend to just go and go and go, but, kind of after going through this experience, I've made like a new vow for myself, and hopefully I can keep it, where I never want to live my life again in a way where I'm too busy, to look for moments to help people, because I was on the opposite end of that, and it was devastating. So I think it's common in our culture and to be busy. And I think we all need to challenge why we feel that need to be busy and create space for whatever needs to be healed in ourselves and truly be present, because it's in those times when we are more able to create compassion and space for healing for others, and to be present and still and making connection is what will allow us to know which action to take to help other people. So the amount of community that came to me from this has been incredible. I feel like we're all on the journey together, and no one's perfect. You know, I would never expect perfection from anyone in my experience, and people that were helping me, and I couldn't expect perfection from myself. I've probably, you know, probably is the wrong word. I've definitely in my past, you know, it's definitely, because I know I have, I've definitely made judgments, and probably discounted people suffering in ways that are so unfair. And now I see things in such a different light. I understand what it feels like to not have hope and to feel like you live in a broken body and to not know if it's ever going to feel better. And the fears of recurring pain and the PTSD that comes when you have recurring pain. I just feel like I'm so much more capable now of understanding and serving and being a shoulder to cry on for those who need it. And I'm grateful for that.
Yeah. So much of what you've shared has been so healing just for me personally, not going through what you're going through, but it's been so applicable. You mentioned how much connection was in, how important that was, and how you had that friend who, talking on the phone together, that was, you know, meant more to you than anything she could have done after. I think there's some fear, I know for me, sometimes I'm afraid to reach out to people. I'm afraid I'm going to offend them, or like they're going to feel overwhelmed because too many people are reaching out. Some people feel like, oh, they just want to know the gossip of what's happening. So like, do you have any advice, maybe what worked for you when people reached out and what they said that maybe made you feel like you could open up and talk to them?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I could have ever felt like a negative emotion from someone reaching out. Like there was, it was nothing but positive for me. I mean, maybe others might have a different experience, but I always felt relief from it and just like, oh, like someone, you know, someone's there, someone cares. Like it's an answer to a prayer, honestly. But for me, it would, you know, the check-ins would, that were super helpful were, you know, simple, just, hey, I'm thinking about you today. How are you? If you want me to run and grab something from Trader Joe's, I'm going there today. Can I drop something off for you? Just very simple, you know, and not even the Trader Joe's thing, like just thinking about you, saying a prayer today. I love you. Have a good day. You know, hope all is well, whatever. Just little bits of care that made me feel like I was thought about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have any other maybe advice or thoughts in for people, family or friends of loved ones who are bedbound or going through similar experiences?
Just give us lots of chocolate.
Yes.
A piece of advice I have, you know, for people who are helping others with something really difficult is to not judge or criticize their choices for treatment or how they choose to live their difficult days. Unless you've been in a situation like it yourself, it's really impossible to know how difficult it really is. And, you know, most people in it are just trying to survive. Sometimes living hour to hour and just looking for glimpses of hope. So the criticism and judgment will make it worse. Even if you feel like you have a great idea, you know, don't feel like you can't mention it, but allow space for them to use their agency in how they are living these really difficult days.
Do you feel like you did experience judgment?
On a broad scale, no. My husband was so incredible at giving me the space and the liberty to really feel things out, which I'm eternally grateful for, because had I gone down a different path than the one I went down, maybe too soon, like had I chosen surgery earlier than I did and it didn't go well, which it didn't, you know, but if that had happened earlier on my journey, I would have forever beat myself up for that, you know, and I'm grateful that things unfolded the way they did. But yeah, I mean, there were some criticisms and agendas that were thrown my way that I didn't agree with, and it was a strained situation for sure.
Yeah, that's so hard. Well, Annie, thank you so much for being on and for sharing everything that you shared. I do have one final question, and I ask everyone who is on my podcast this question, but what does unity mean to you?
Unity means so many things, but I feel like the bottom line, especially because it's fresh on my heart, is, you know, really giving people the benefit of the doubt in any trial and withholding judgment, allowing space for people to grow and being with them on their journey wholeheartedly, you know, with compassion. And that's a big ask. I mean, I don't know if anyone can do that perfectly. Mm-hmm. I don't even think I can after what I've been through. I mean, I feel like I'm more capable, but I feel like we're all on this journey together. We're all learning. That's the point of life. But you know, I can say that with the community that came out of the woodworks for me and the unity that I felt with my army of fighters that were on my team, I got through it and I'm still getting through it. And I'm so grateful for that. It's people are everything.
Yeah. That's really good advice. You're right. It's really hard. But it's true, right? Like, we need to give people the benefit of a doubt and strive for connection
for sure
through hard things. So thank you again so much for being on.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. If you enjoyed this episode, please like it on whatever platform you're listening to. Remember that it's okay to disagree. Unity comes when we can agree to disagree while still maintaining a love for one another. For more on Unity, follow us on Instagram at finding.unity or on Twitter at finding_unity.